All right, so what do you say about the question of the Ron's claim that that Rechitza doesn't fit the format of Daraisa? And then Tosis's conclusion, therefore, that it must be, the whole thing must be Drabanan. The other Inuyim must be Drabanan. See, there was Yitzi's raising a good point, and it is funny when you go through the Ron, the Rechitza and the Melech and the Kala, he says they're Makilin Behu, right? And then he says by the Nilas HaSandal, he wants to prove that it's not Sakana from the Rabbanon, right? And then his question is, how could Rabbi Eliezer be Matir? If it's not, I mean, he's just trying to show that all of them are the same. All of them have to do with the fact that they had that the Rabbanon were Mekel in these things. It's obviously true by Melech and Kala. He just has to prove it by the Nilas HaSandal. There is a shita though. And if you take a look in the Tosfos Yeshanim on the bottom of the first daf of the Gemara, he has a somewhat of a different approach that works out this problem. He wants to say that maybe midraisa only full rechitza and full sicha are asa. The whole guf. And but then by Nilas HaSandal he gets stuck. You know what I mean? So it is possible to do away. It is possible to treat each one differently and try to figure each one out on its own. He just wants to go through each one and say he holds no. Each one, you see from each one that each one has the same idea that it's there's a kula in it. And why does he have to go through each one? I don't know. Pizza. Right. We're working on the Tosfos. So he's saying that his rule seems to be, his proposition is that what? That the mitzvah can't be, or the iser can't be partially mutter and partially usser. It can't have a daraisa that's part usser, part mutter. So we had two examples of that, right? One example is here. That rechitza can't be usur in this case and mutter in that case. That he holds violates this idea. And like yom, like chol hamoed, can't be that you're not allowed to water your field unless it's really important. Unless bedavar over is mutter. That would be part mutter and part usur. And the daraisa. So putting it in a positive sense, we could say the daraisa is what? It has a objective, a fixed or objective formulation. Right? It's not subject to exceptions. Right? It's absolute. It's absolute. It's absolute, let's say. Okay? But when we got to our question of Dira, we said, well, you know, sometimes you sit in Sukkah, sometimes you don't sit in Sukkah. So obviously the question is, there's no Stira between those two. It's the same Tosfos. Everybody agrees that Sukkah, Chola is Pater from, right? So it comes down to what do we mean by it, right? It can't be part Usser and part Mutter, okay? So what does Tosfos say by Sukkah? He says, what's the it? The it is dira. Okay? So you have to think about it like this. Yeah, you have to differentiate in your mind between what I would call an action. Let's call it an action or a maiso, right? And let's say an activity. Okay? An action is a specific thing that you do, right? An activity is done through actions, right? Like let's say hitting a ball with a bat, you could call that an action. You call it batting, okay? Yeah, of course, every action, you know, we can go break it down. But we'll suffice to say, we'll call that batting. But let's say playing baseball is an activity. It takes a lot of different actions, right? A guy could be standing there waiting for something, and he'll be playing baseball, catching, throwing, hitting, all different things, right? Okay. So sometimes so let's take the case of sukkah. So we'll say sukkah, by sukkah, what's the mitzvah? What's the commandment? It's dira, right? Dira means what? Dira basukkah. Means to say there's a certain way the Torah demands of us during sukkahs to relate to our sukkah in a certain way. Okay? We have to make it our home, let's say. We don't have to be so precise here, right? Now that's a whole activity. That's a certain way. It's more in the realm of activity. It's a certain way of relating to the bias. It's a certain way that we relate to the cheftza of sukkah. How do we interact with the sukkah on sukkahs? We do activities of dira. You understand? We do a certain host of activities that are part, we do, a, I'm sorry, a host of actions that really constitute a greater activity of living someplace, of residing someplace. It could be sitting, eating, sleeping, right? Could contain all of those actions. But not as actions per se, right? Not like a chiyuv of eating per se, or a chiyuv of sleeping per se. But insofar as they all come under the idea of dira, right? In other words, achila is included in dira, yeshiva, whatever you want to put in there. Shina, right? They're all part of, they all constitute together a bigger category of dira. So the it is dira, right? There's never a time when dira is partially mutter and partially chayev and partially pater. You understand? The command is be a dor basuka. Okay? And that is not subject to exception. It happens to be that the activity of dira is very interesting in the fact that it's a certain kind, it only includes actions that are, it only includes actions of using the sukkah itself. So, or actions of relating to the sukkah as a certain type of a makom. So therefore, if when I go into the sukkah, it's painful to me, that's not making the sukkah a home. That's not part of the activity of making the sukkah a home.
How would it be different if it was an action?
So pick an action. You'd have to pick an action. You'd have to say, sit in the sukkah. If the Torah said, sit in the sukkah, then come rain or shine, you'd have to sit in the sukkah. Because am I sitting in the sukkah? If it's raining, pouring rain, yeah, I'm sitting in the sukkah. But am I relating to it? Am I using the action of sitting in a way that forges a relationship of the sukkah, of expressing the sukkah as my home when it's pouring? No, I'm not. Okay. So the mitzvah can be, sometimes the mitzvah can be on a very specific action, right? Wear tefillin, eat matzah, shake the lulav, whatever it is, a very specific action. But it's also possible for there to be a mitzvah that is not a particular action, but it's sort of, see, by sukkah, how does it really work? Really, the mitzvah is to make the sukkah into your home. That really is what the mitzvah is. I mean, underlying it is that we leave the bias as our home. Say midiras keva, b'shev b'diras rei. We're relocating, right, from the home to the sukkah. And there's no specific, that's not a specific maisa. It's a certain human relationship of your dira, where is my dira? And there are certain actions that constitute that. There are certain actions of relating to the sukkah that are included. I mean, that's why we say it's really, you should bring in your best stuff. All of these things are a kiyum there's a certain baseline. If you don't eat there or sleep there, then you're not doing the basic functions of Dira. But then there's more you can add on. You can have a Kiyam. Okay. So, but the point is, Tosis's rule is always correct. The thing is, you have to look at what the structure of the mitzvah is. What is it that we're demanded to do? Whatever is demanded of you is always demanded of you. So
it's not like you could say within Inouye there.
But the point is like this: if I would do it just to try to do it visually, for the visual thinkers here.
So good.
I could say it like this. You like Venn diagrams?
Yes.
when you think in terms of an activity, you have the right now to like cherry pick from the range of achila. You know what I mean? It's only achila insofar as an achila that expresses a connection to the bias. So that's a big meal. That's a meal of achilas beitza, right? I eat snacks outside my house. Where do I eat the achila of keva? That's in my house. So that achila would be part of the bigger picture of dira. You understand? But dira is absolute. Okay. The only thing is that's why what's the halacha we say mitztayer is patur min hasukkah. Right? A mitztayer is patur. But we say it's only a mitztayer from the sukkah itself. Has to be. If you're just in pain, you're just not feeling well, but it doesn't make you feel worse to be in the sukkah, that's not called mitztayer. Okay, mitztayer has to be from the sukkah. Why? Because it has to be a maisa that is forging a relationship with the sukkah of your bias. That's not possible when going into it repels you. You understand? That's intrinsically not a maisa. That's intrinsically not a maisa that's part of the activity of residing. When residing means the home is there's no place like home. But when you're but if part of the maisa is that it causes you a discomfort being in there, that's mamela, not part of the activity of dira. Okay? So if something is simply a maisa, if there's an iser maisa, then also it doesn't accept any exceptions. So the question then comes down to this. Can we look at rechitza as a maisa? Do we look at the iser rechitza on Yom Kippur as maisa? Or can we somehow put it into an activity, a dira-like activity? And Tosis is saying, and this is the part, now we're sort of focusing our minds over here, Tosis is saying he only could view it as maisa. Now, is that what you want to talk about?
Yeah.
So I think the problem is like this. In other words, that the way Tosis is looking at it is like this. How would you put it? You see, in truth, I don't know if we even need to get into this whole thing right now. In truth, I think rechitza is a simpler question. I think rechitza is a simpler question. Because what is the idea of rechitza? So we say that there's an inoy of not washing, right? There's an inoy that comes from not washing. So we're trying to make a chiluk, trying to say, well, there's the inoy that comes from not washing generally, right? And that we'll call it, let's say, a rechitza shel tainik. But there's an inoy, but there's something else. If I'm dirty, that's different, right? But why is it really different? That's what I like to understand. Why is it really different? In other words, can you define for me, in what way can you define it out of the activity? No, so what is rechitza really? Yeah, Avi?
I was gonna ask.
It's hard for me to explain it exactly, but it seems to be like this, that if I, what is really rechitza in general? How would you define rechitza? Could we give a good definition of rechitza?
Pleasuring or cleaning activity?
Well, to say it's a pleasuring activity, that's difficult, because there are a lot of pleasuring activities, right? And it's not really usur because of the, it's really usur, like Rashi says, because we want to refrain from something that, we want to refrain from doing something that is mevatel inoy. It's like a convoluted kind of a thing. You know what I mean? I mentioned that Rashi, right? He says it's like shvisa from malacha. We want to stop doing activities that would remove an inoy. In other words, there's a certain amount of inoy that comes about from being alive, right? And then rechitza would remove a certain element of that inoy. So the issur rechitza really is to allow the inoy of not washing to exist. Okay? So what is the inoy of not washing?
It's being dirty.
Being dirty, no? Yana?
Oh, I was going to say preoccupation with one's body.
That's not the inoy of not washing. What's the discomfort of not washing? What's the state of discomfort of not washing come from? From the schmutz, the sweat, whatever it is, right? So what really is rechitza? Bottom line, is it's the application of water to remove something that's creating discomfort in your body. In other words, You have to define rechitza. So I think this is what Tosa's problem is. He's saying, look, if you're going to define rechitza, so we know that rechitza is usur because it removes an inoy. At least that's the way it seems from Rashi. It removes an inoy. So the removal of inoy is really how we're defining rechitza. To take off the lichluch of that builds up from everyday life. Right? Now, as for instance, if the Gemara says later that if a person has to cross a river to get somewhere, that's not called a rechitza. Because he's doing something completely different. He's not involved in applying mayim to his body to remove something. He's just walking. That's just memela, it happens. Okay? So really, the maisa of rechitza, we could say, is really washing, the activity of washing, we could call it, is the application of mayim to the guf, to remove the discomfort. Okay? So in that sense, the whole idea of rechitza shel tainig versus removing the dirt is really a fictitious distinction. Because the only difference between washing from ordinary, from the ordinary need of washing, and washing from the tzoa and the tit that's on your dayim, is just how uncomfortable you are from what's on your body. It's really just a question of degree. You're not involved in a different thing. You understand? You're not involved in a different kind of a thing. It's just saying, we can break it up into like the normal dirt that's on you and the abnormal and the unusual dirt that's on you. But bottom line, they're both exactly the same activity. Both of them can be defined in the same exact way, which is using water to remove something that's causing you discomfort on your body. Now, to say that I can't wash up in the morning from the regular discomfort of whatever happens during the day, that's usur, but it's mutter if your hands are really filthy, all that's saying is that if it's really bothering you, it's mutter. All that would be saying is that you're not allowed to remove the discomfort through washing unless it's really uncomfortable. Oh, but that's not a different kind of a maisa. That's just saying that we're going to be easy on you if it's really annoying. But that there's no formulation of in deraisa like that. Deraisas aren't formulated like that. Deraisas don't say, try your, if it's not too much of a trouble, do the mitzvah. But if it's really troublesome, don't do it. You understand? When you come down and try to differentiate rechitza shel tainug versus tzoa and titz, it comes out, it's really not a difference in definition, it's really just a difference in degree. They're really the same thing. It really is the same thing. But it's just a difference of degree. Difference of degree, we don't have that in deraisas. Deraisas are absolute. The maisa is usser. It's never usser up to this point and mutter beyond that point. It has to be conceptually, you have to find conceptually a structure of the mitzvah. What is the structure of the mitzvah? That structure is inviolable. Okay? If the structure is dira, then you always have to do dira. If the structure is rechitza, meaning removal, using mayim to remove things from your body that cause discomfort, then you can't differentiate between the regular sweat on your body and the mud on your hands. That's just a bigger rechitza. That's just a bigger form of rechitza. It's not conceptually a different thing. So that's what bothers Tosus. That's what bothers Tosus. How could it be that this whole chilek of tainig and not is not really a chilek in is not really redefining the maisa intrinsically? Is just giving a term for the norm and the abnormal. It's just giving a term to what we call the normal rechitza and, you know, an exceptional case of rechitza. But conceptually, they're the same. Right? Be like a stroll or a walk. It's just how far you go. You know? A marathon versus a jogging. There's no difference, really. It's just how far you choose to go. Maybe we'll call it something. Did you run a marathon? It's not really, it's just a fiction. It's just more running. Yeah. So that's the basic structure of the Raisa. Because when the Torah defines a category, when the Torah defines a structure, when there's a structure in the Torah, the nature of Torah is that it's a primary, absolute din. Okay? That is the din itself, that structure. Any form of violation is the same. If rechitza is the formulation of the iser, right, then that itself is the mitzvah, and there's no possibility for exceptions. Okay, but the rabbanans are a completely different kind of a. The rabbanans are completely different in nature. The raisa is like the. Is the primary entity. That's the objective entity of Torah, right? And anything that is objective in the Devar Hashem is not open to degrees, okay? So therefore, the mitzvah of the Raisa does not have exceptions like that. Sometimes mutter, sometimes doesn't. But the whole function of the Rabbanans is secondary. The function of the Rabbanans is just to support the Doraisa. It's just to make a mishmeres l'mishmarti, to make a geder around the Torah. Because we don't look at the Rabbanans in structure the same way as the Doraisa. The Rabbanans don't really have a structure like that. The Rabbanans don't have their own intrinsic good. They're only good insofar as they're assisting the person in fulfilling the Doraisa. As a matter of fact, if the Rabban, that's the only reason the Rabbanans, mitzvahs the Rabbanan exist. And that's why they're not considered adding onto the Torah. If the Rabbanan would say, this is a new mitzvah on its own right, you must do this, that would be Baal Tosef. It has to be that it's only there, it only justifies its existence insofar as it helps people. Insofar as it helps people, keep the mitzvah or stay away from the issur. As a matter of fact, we say that if it's a gzeira that nobody can keep, then it's batel automatically, right? But not only that. I mean, there are many differences. That's why we say that you can't make a drabanan on a drabanan, right? You can't make a gzeira li gzeira. Why? Because that would imply that the purpose of the second gzeira is just to support the first gzeira. But the first gzeira is not a thing in its own right. That would be treating the Rabbanon like a primary entity. You understand? They can't do that. It's only astu mishmeres l'mishmarti, not mishmeres l'mishmeres. You can't make a gzeira. Why do I have to keep this? Why do I have to do this? So you don't violate that Rabbanon. But that Rabbanon is not its own primary thing to be protected. It doesn't have an existence of an absolute. It's own, that itself is only for something else. So you can't convene a basin and say, well, we have to support this Rabbanon. The Rabbanon doesn't have an essential existence. That would be an invalid gzera. So the Rabbanon really have a different kind of a thing. They're not creating primary structural entities that have a certain, you know, kedusha to the definition of, to the structure. You know, the sukkah is a, you know, the rice are doing that. The Rabbanon is just a separate thing. They have to decide how much is necessary to support the deraisa. And as a mitzvah of lishmoa ledivrei chachamim, it's not really, they're not really setting up a structure that has a fixed form. It's a mitzvah of lishmoa ledivrei chachamim. So the chacham can decide that they say, look, there's a certain amount of inoy that we need to finish off to complete the day. This is the daraisa inoy, but midrabanan we want to facilitate the Yom Kippur experience, and we're going to add extra things. But they have the right to decide to what degree it's necessary. You know, so they could say, well, it's important. Up to this point, you have to refrain from mechitza. Past this point, it's too onerous. You know, it's not consistent logically. Logically, it's not consistent. In terms of the structure of rechitza, it's not consistent. But it's what we call an isser and a matir. The Rabbanon can formulate in a way where they say here's an isser, but there's a matir. You don't have to listen. You don't have to do it in this case. Because the whole thing is only secondary. The whole institution of the Rabbanon is only secondary, right? So that's what Tosas. That's the way Tosas is learning. He's saying once you see this type of a formulation, where there's an isser, no rechitza, but you don't have to do it if it's really burdensome. That means to say rechitza itself is not a problem. It's being too involved in bitl of inoy, but how much bitl of inoy can we say? We can say this amount of being involved in rechitza is bad, and this amount of being involved in rechitza is okay, because they're trying to look at the big picture. Saying they're not saying that rechitza is an intrinsic isser. That would be like the raisa. If it was an intrinsic isser, then there'd be no exceptions to it. They're saying the whole idea of similar to what, more along the lines of what Yonah was saying before, involving yourself in rechitza is something that's going to take you away from the day, let's say, for instance. So, but they can draw the line. They can draw the line. They say, well, as long as we cover the essential rechitza of the norm, that's enough. Then that will accomplish the goal. But an exceptional case, it's like a milsud lo shchir. It's not gonna do anything, because one day that's not something that they only goes around the norm. Yeah. So Meir's asking, what about the melech and the kala? It's undermining their inoy. But that's exactly what we're saying over here for the Rabbanon. They can weigh factors and decide this is more important than that.
But I thought that was only outside of the absolute.
There is no absolute for them. If you're going to say rechitza is a Rabbanon, so they say, well, rechitza has a certain benefit, and for these people it has a certain detriment. We have to weigh it. There are certain cases, I'm trying to remember. In other words, there's something liberating about this way of going, and maybe it's the danger of overusing it, but we don't have to really look for an intrinsic concept anymore. Rabbanan can carve out exceptions. I'll give you an example that we came across once. This is an astounding halacha. Maybe you remember it. I think I'm getting it right. There's a halacha like this, that midrabbanan, we don't tovel kelim on Shabbos. Okay, we're not tovel kelim on Shabbos. Why? Because it's considered like a tikkun mona. It's considered like fixing the thing. Because you're actualizing a use that the kli didn't have. You weren't allowed to use it beforehand. And now the tevila allows it to be used. Okay? I think it's from Tumah we're talking about, not the regular... but anyway, whatever the case is. There's a certain idea that tevila is like a fixing of the thing. Right? Because broken means it's not usable. So when it's tumah, it's not usable to a certain extent. And when you're tovel, it's like you're fixing it. Right? So it's a gzeira, because if we allow a person to do that, in his mind, he'll maybe next time just fix the kli actually. Right? In other words, it's a gzeira. It's a gzeira because we don't want people to think that they can actualize, you know, uses that were unavailable, because then in their minds they'll think the next time if the handle is broken, they'll think, oh, I can just fix it. Just like I was told with the kalim, it's going to mix them up and they're going to think they can fix kalim. Right? You understand? That's how the rabbanans work in general. But then there's an extension of that. That a woman can't go to the mikveh either, we say. Okay? So it should be, the Gemara says. It should be that a woman shouldn't be able to go to the mikveh either. So the Gemara says, no, because a woman could go in her clothing into the river and it'll just look like she's cooling off. So it won't appear like a maisa of tikkun mona. People go into the river for other reasons, not just for tefillah. You can go in to cool off. Okay? So we don't want to have people doing things that appear like tikkun mona, because that confuses people. But there's an idea that the tefillah b'mikvah doesn't necessarily appear like tikkun mona. She can go fully clothed into the river and it'll look like she's going to cool off. So it doesn't have the appearance of tikkun mona. Does that sound strange?
Yeah.
Okay. So the Gemara says, that's good, but what about Yom Kippur? How come a woman's allowed to go to the mikvah on Yom Kippur? Because what could she be doing? You're telling me on Shabbos she can go to the mikvah because it looks like she's just going to bathe. But in Yom Kippur, you're not allowed to bathe. So it must be that she's going for the mikvah. And then you get into the problem of tikkun mona. Right? So the Gemara says, there's a rule. We can't have anything that's mutter on Shabbos, that's asr on Yom Kippur. Shabbos and Yom Kippur have to be the same. A separate rule. Shabbos and Yom Kippur have to be the same. The Kedushas Shabbos can't be lower than the Kedushas Yom Kippur. So if you have this rule, what's going to come out? That on Yom Kippur a woman can't go to the mikvah, and on Shabbos she can. That's wrong. That's going to make people, that's going to have a different effect. It's going to have an effect that people are going to look at the Kedushas Shabbos as somewhat less than Kedushas Yom Kippur. You understand? So, but what about the tikkun mona problem? People are going to start fixing kelim left and right. No. So the truth of the matter is that's not going to happen. But there's a certain degree of the Rabbanan are trying to approach in a mathematical sense, approach an absolute. Okay, there's an idea we don't want people to fix kelim. There's a certain amount we can do that will help, you know, take that possibility out of reality. But we recognize that we're only helping the situation. We're only helping the situation. No, it's not, we're not saying if you tovel kelim, then people will fix kelim all the time. And if you stop toveling, it'll be completely negated. No, we're saying, look, it's our obligation, as the Rabbanan's obligation is to do what they can to facilitate the shmiras mitzvahs of everybody else. But if there's a problem with doing it in this situation, they can't do it. They can't do it. So they have to weigh it out. They have to look at the cost benefit. So if, yes, having people not tovel is some benefit in the sense of preventing a confusion of tikkun mona. But on Yom Kippur, it results in something else. So they have no choice. They have to let it go over there. And they're not really saying, and if we let people tovel on Yom Kippur, it's going to really lead to to tikkun mona, but they have to. But if there wasn't that problem, they would forbid it because they could. It would be an assistance. So the point over here is the Rabbanon have to really. Their whole job is to facilitate shmira, but they have to also, you know, take things into account. That they have to take into account the effect of what they're doing in other areas. So it's very possible over here that according to the Chachamim, according to Rabbi Eliezer, they had to see that Kala and Melech, although it would be a kiyum of inoy for them, but the institution of Melech and the institution of Kala was something they felt should not be endangered by the Kiyam in Inui. It's more of a question of concern. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. The question is the machlokas is a good question. Why the Chachamim don't care? They don't care about the Chaya, they don't care about the Kala, they don't care about the Melech.
They're saying that this whole idea of leeway and...
But they agree the Rabbanon have the leeway in terms of the Tzoa, the Tit, and the guy with the cracks in his head. All of those things, they agree that there's leeway on.
So maybe they just...
Yeah, all right, so we'll just start a little bit now. So the Ron's answer is to sort of invent a new form of mitzvah, right? He's positing a new form of mitzvah. I mean, it has a source, there's a Gemara that says something like that. But he wants to, he admits to Tosfos' problem, that the Raisas can't have this formulation. But he holds that's only when the Raisa was specified a maisa, specified something, right? He says it doesn't say anything about the, doesn't say rechitza and sicha and all these things specifically in the Torah. It just alludes to more inuyim. So he says, so what does that mean? It means the Torah said there should be more inuyim, but it didn't say exactly what they are. And therefore, it's like a handoff to the Rabbanan to fill in the blanks. And once the Rabbanan are in charge, they can do what they want. It's a strange, strange idea, isn't it? It's a strange... And it doesn't mean it's the Rabbanan. It means it's the Raisa. Because that's what bothers him in the end. He says, so that's what bothers him. So he says, if you really go by this idea of Masrin HaKasa L'Chachamim, then it should be usur to bathe a child on Yom Kippur. Or there should be chinuch for rechitza and sicha on Yom Kippur. But you don't see something like that. So we have to think a little bit about what the idea of Moser Nakos of the Chachamim means, how that works, how is that different than a regular Rabbanan. And then maybe we'll take up the Rambam's the way the Rambam seems to learn this inyan, and then we'll go further in the Gemara. Yeah.
Just a
short
question
of
the Daraisa was.
Right. So what does Masr Nakos mean? It's a good question. In other words, how do you know what malachas are asr and Shabbos? Doesn't say anything in the Torah about what malachas are asr and Shabbos, right? But there's malacha. And we know it's next to Mishkan, and Tosfos says they had to figure out what are the malachos chashuvos, right? That's not called Master Nakaz L'Chachamim. That's just saying the Chachamim had to figure out, they had to use their svara and figure out what are malachos, okay? But everything that they were figuring out, they knew had that, it simply meant the Torah was saying there are 39 things that are asr, because it says malacha 39 times, and they had to use their chachma to figure out what they were. Sort of like just investigating, sort of like using their chachma to determine what exists already, but not wasn't enumerated in the Torah. Mostron hakosav lichachamim is more like an ownership type of thing. Like it was up to them to formulate. Not they had to figure it out. They had to figure out what was there, but it was up to them to formulate. And that's why they can formulate it with these coolers.
That's a reboy?
That's what he calls, because of the reboy of Schuss.
Is that what it is? Is that what it's referring to?
Mi ribuya de Schuss, right. See, it's interesting. He doesn't really learn it's coming from the from Inui five times. He learns from the Riboy Shvus, Shabbason. But he says it's Kili Tvei because it wasn't open, and it was Mosron Akost V'Chamim V'Hein Hikilu B'Hen Kefi Masher Ro V'Hitiru. It was up to them according to what they decided. We have to think about that, how that works. A little bit we'll think about it. Well, so let's try to clean up what we have left over here. Maybe think about the machlokas a little more, just to see if we can work on this idea a little bit more, and try to finish up the Ran, just the basic idea of Moshe Nekos V'Chachamim, and then we'll take a look at the Rambam. Take a look at the Rambam in the Pirush Rishnayos, take a look at the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvos, and take a look at the Rambam in the Ran. Okay? We'll do that for Monday.